Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to The Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, where things stand on government funding. Number two, Senate Republicans start thinking about life post-McConnell. And number three, the latest on the vault. All right, let's get into it. This morning, we are very focused on what is happening with government funding. It's Wednesday. The federal government partially shuts down at midnight on Friday, just to remind everybody about this deadline, and text for the six-bill minibus still hasn't been released yet. We are now told we may not see it until Thursday. So what does that mean? Party leaders, appropriators, and the White House very much want text out today. Yet the 118th Congress has shown that deadlines are just dreams waiting to be crushed as we write this morning. So don't assume anything. This final fiscal year 2024 spending package includes, of course, defense, homeland security, labor, HHS, legislative branch, financial services, general government, and state foreign operations bills. That's basically three quarters of all federal discretionary spending. We don't need to relitigate everything that has happened and how we got here. Homeland security was the big problem, of course. Those differences have been resolved. The House is going to move first on the massive fiscal year 2024 spending package. Speaker Mike Johnson and his top lieutenants want to hold a vote on this bill on Friday, just hours before the midnight shutdown deadline. Of course, that is a very tight timeline. But it's always important to note when Congress is on the brink of a two-week recess, so there is strong bipartisan desire to get it done. Jet fumes and all of that. But in order to get the vote on Friday, Speaker Johnson really needs the text to come out today. The problem is some sources involved in the talks see that goal slipping away. Heading into the week, Johnson's leadership team simply didn't think that the speaker would be able to waive the 72-hour review period for legislation, especially on a package that totals more than $1 trillion and touches on immigration, defense, and social safety net policy. Johnson's been trying to kind of figure out whether or not lawmakers might be willing to do that. He brought that up in his leadership meeting Tuesday afternoon, and there was consensus. The GOP leadership could collapse that timeframe without much hassle. Then he also met with his elected leadership. He's talked to the House Freedom Caucus and will have a session with the full conference this morning that's going to give him a better sense of whether or not he is going to be able to do that. There was some consensus that maybe the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. At this point, it seems like House Republicans really just want to get out of town. So, of course, that's the struggles that Speaker Mike Johnson faces. The Senate has its own challenges. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Tuesday he'll put the funding package on the floor immediately once it's received from the House. Without a time agreement, that could take several days to pass. Already, GOP aides say at least a dozen amendment votes have been requested, many of which center on immigration and border policy. Republican leaders are trying to get this sorted out on the front end to minimize the last-minute haggling. But passing the minibus on Friday or Saturday will require unanimous consent, meaning those who want amendment votes must first agree to speed things up. The GOP amendments would be quickly rejected, and senators would move to final passage. We'll have to see if they're able to figure that out. Also today, we scooped last night that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address Senate Republicans via video during their lunch today. This is especially interesting, given Schumer's comments last week calling for new elections in Israel. All right, let's run to the number two story of the morning. Senate conservatives getting their first shot to shape the post-McConnell era. Republican senators who tried to oust Mitch McConnell will soon have their first chance to shape the battle to replace him as party leader. GOP senators are scheduled to meet behind closed doors this afternoon in an effort by conservatives to ensure McConnell's successor breaks from the Kentucky Republicans' leadership style. Of course, McConnell has been the longest-serving Senate leader in history, and that has drawn some consternation from Republicans, particularly those like Senator Ron Johnson, the Republican from Wisconsin, who led the push for today's meeting. He told us he expects it to be just the first step in a months-long process. Johnson said the GOP conference has become grotesquely dysfunctional as of late and wants the leadership candidates to be engaged in developing a mission statement for the conference. Johnson and other conservatives have bashed McConnell for being willing to cut deals with Democrats that only require a handful of GOP votes for passage, and they want the eventual GOP leader to focus on countering Democrats' policy efforts rather than helping advance them. That's an unmistakable message to those running for GOP leader. So far, there, of course, are just two declared candidates, Senate Minority Whip John Thune, as well as Senator John Cornyn, the Republican from Texas. But you could also see some others jump into the race, including Senators Rick Scott, the Republican from Florida, and Steve Daines, the Republican from Montana, that might be more palatable to some of the conservatives. Thune and Cornyn said they plan to simply listen during Wednesday's meeting. Neither seemed exactly sure what could be brought up. We'll be covering it throughout the afternoon. Let's move on to the number three story of the morning, the latest from The Vault, Punchbowl News' financial services policy vertical. An interesting news item here. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Dick Durbin, the Democrat from Illinois, said Tuesday night he's facing resistance from major players in the credit card market after calling on their CEOs to testify. That would be United Airlines, American Airlines, MasterCard, and Visa. Back in February, Durbin announced that he wanted CEOs of those four companies to testify in an April hearing on credit card competition, with a deadline to respond set for March 4th. Banks are strongly opposed to Durbin's Credit Card Competition Act, and they've gotten a nice lift from the airline industry in this fight. We asked Durbin Tuesday evening whether he'd heard back from the airlines about his request, and Durbin told a group of reporters he'd experienced quote-unquote resistance from them to bring their CEOs in. CEOs are too busy, they say, Durbin added. Durbin also confirmed the companies had offered other executives to testify. When asked whether that'd be acceptable, he replied, no. Representatives from United and American Airlines declined to comment. Also on view for the banking policy today, the Federal Open Market Committee announces its next interest rates move this afternoon. I know we say this a lot, but the news conference today with Fed Chair Jay Powell will be a big one for economy watchers. Price hikes for the American consumer have been slowing for months from the inflationary highs of 2022, but progress against inflation has become bumpier in recent weeks, with consumer price data coming in hotter than expected and shelter costs remaining stubbornly high. More importantly, core inflationary dynamics have been changing in 2024. Inflation for physical goods have come down as supply chains have unsnarled over the last 2 years, but services inflation, better known as the prices folks charge for skilled labor, has proven stickier. We will be watching all of that and reporting throughout the day. Appreciate you listening this morning. One big announcement for us, we have a new summit. The summit on the future of rural healthcare is going to be on Tuesday, April 9th. We're going to be exploring access to healthcare in rural communities. If you'd like to sign up for that, you can go to our events hub at punchbowl.news. As always, if you like the Daily Punch, please share it with your friends and family. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. Of course, if you want to go deeper on all this and more, you can get our free morning newsletter. All it takes is an email. Go to punchbowl.news and sign up. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.